Welcome to National MI's Educational Sales Podcast Series, hosted by mortgage sales consultants Pat Sherlock and Bobby Welch. This podcast is brought to you by National MI University. We are committed to delivering quality education. Now let's get started.
Hello, everybody. This is Pat Sherlock, and I have Bobby Welch with me.
Hello, everyone. Hey, Pat.
Well, Bobby, this is, I think, so practical as a topic, you know, what to do when a real estate agent you've been calling on for months doesn't give you any business, which obviously by definition is very frustrating. So let's talk about your thoughts on when you are obviously contacting XYZ agent and been doing this for months and nothing has happened. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, first, I'm sure that probably never happens to any of our listeners. But, you know, hypothetically, it could. And there's two areas when I'm working with my guys that I really have them focus on. And I think if we explore those, we'll do a pretty good job giving folks an idea of what to do. You know, the first step, you know, I call it the analysis step, you know, some introspection and self-reflection at your process, what you're doing. And we can dive deep into this, too. And then the second step is be willing to have some tough conversations. And so those are the two areas I think I'd recommend we explore.
Well, I think that's smart. I think we should jump into the analysis part because I think you have to start there for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, starting there, the kind of the foundation issue, the issue that generally starts or goes wrong in the very first meeting with a lot of originators is that we don't always do as deep and thorough of a needs analysis and understanding if the match is there between the agent and ourselves as we should. And, you know, so said more plainly, we have to really understand and learn what they want from a lender. And those have to be deep details, not surface details, because clarity creates confidence. And then, of course, confidence, that's what allows the sale. So one level would be like, you know, hey, Mr. Realtor, what's important to you? You know, as a lender, what do you need from your loan officer? And they could say, well, you know, I want excellent customer service, and they could stop. That's not going to close a solid sale. Yeah, customer service, you know, that level of thinking is just not where we need to be. We've got to dig deeper. We've got to understand things like, you know, they want 2-hour return phone calls or they want weekly updates. That way, when we understand, you know, the 5 or 6 things that create the condition called good customer service to them as an individual agent, then that allows a stronger close. And when we don't do that correctly up front, when we're not asking enough questions, we're not going deep enough, then the initial close is on rocky ground. And because the initial close was on rocky ground, all of your follow-ups afterwards, you know, if the agent leaves your initial sales meeting a 10, even under the best conditions, 4 or 5 weeks later, they could be down to a 7. Just because their other lender has already been calling on them again and they remember what they liked about them or, you know, a variety of things. If you leave that first meeting and you only got them up to a 6 and a month later they're down to a 3 and, you know, good luck, it's not going to happen. That would be step one.
Yeah. Don't you think, though, in a lot of cases, what I see with originators is that they kind of confuse prospecting in the aspect that they really do pitch it as a feature kind of conversation. I'm great. I can close quick. All the standard things, which we've talked about on many podcasts, but they haven't really aligned as what you're saying with what is the priority that that real estate agent wants from you. And they just kind of throw a bunch of things against the wall and they hope it works. And I think part of that analysis is redoing your messaging, which I think that a lot of what I see, Bobby, is that the loan officers don't really know the equation of how many targets they need to speak to and what their conversion ratio is. And so, therefore, it's just a shot in the dark, and they're hoping things will work and something will work, but they're not sure what. And as a result, it doesn't start with a very kind of analytical approach. And then, therefore, what we think is a likely candidate for us is not really.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah, that's the difference between presenting versus inquiring. And, right. You know, and I saw this about a year ago. I was shadowing a loan officer just to understand what they were doing and what they needed. And so by shadowing, I mean, I was literally just observing. no training before, just let's find out what they're doing now. And they walked in and they sat down and they were just, really, really super excited about this new condo program that the company had rolled out, and sat down and just, started spewing, condo. And when the realtor was done, I said, actually my biggest account is this hospital and I pretty much do 80% doctor runs. And so I'm not interested in condos because of the area I sell, I just don't do condos.
Right.
And it was done after that. I mean, the conversation never recovered, asking if condos were important to the realtor and then figuring out what was, because it turns out the company had a great doctor's program too, but, stepped out on the wrong foot. So that's exactly what we're talking about. But then it goes a step further, because once you understand the needs and wants, that's just the basic stuff, right?
Right.
What do I already know that I need and want? The next step is you have got to find a way to extend some type of unique value to the agent that they understand and they walk away knowing. And that has got to come up in the first one too. And if the unique value is not there, you could have had a great coffee, but the problem is you don't need new friends, you need new business. And so a good warm vibe after the coffee, that's not what you're after. And if the realtor walks away and you look like every other lender, you just match the needs and wants that they told you, and their current lender also matches those needs and wants, then you walk away feeling artificially good about it. Because just because you connected doesn't mean you're going to bring the business over. And by unique, again, and we talk about this a lot, but it's an important topic, things like on-time closings and good service and the fact that you attend your closings and the fact that you, have cute little closing days at the end, those are important, but that sounds a lot like what all the other loan officers are doing.
Right.
If you're being honest with yourself, if we're really, really being honest. So differentiation, if that doesn't happen in a strong way, that can also lead to, again, they're just kind of look at the 1 to 10 scale. They leave feeling like you're kind of a 5 or a 6 because you're like all the other agents or all the other loan officers that they're using. And so there really isn't the motivation to move forward. You've really got to do that. And in fact, you and I did a podcast recently on unique selling proposition. And if the listeners have not, branding and the importance of being unique inside of branding, if you haven't listened to that, I go find it and listen to it.
No question. It starts with obviously all that you're saying, but I also think, which it does raise this issue, at some point, let's assume you did all the right things and it wasn't a case where, you didn't handle it correctly from the get-go, but let's assume you've done everything right. What is the, at some point, we all know that not everybody is a match for us. And so we do have to face the issue that if we have done XYZ and the real estate agent still isn't doing any business with us, when do we move on and how do we move on?
I think that's an important question, but honestly, I think there's probably a handful of things that we need to cover, because that, to me, that's the end of the,
Sure.
And that comes under my tough questions area, tough questions for yourself, tough questions for the agent.
Right.
But yeah, certainly. I mean, gosh, there's a handful of agents that I think everyone should have on their marketing list that you just contact until the earth stops spinning. I think having those, 4 to 6 agents that are the big dogs in your market and calling on those long term, that's okay. But that's the exception. That's that small piece of pie where you're kind of hoping to win the lottery. And even in my own history, I have an agent I called on for 2 years. I lived in the same condo building on opposite ends of the floor, would even ride down in the elevator occasionally with him. And it took me 2 years to break in. Once I broke in, the business off of him paid my mortgage and my car payment by itself. So was it worth a 2-year investment? Yes, but you can't do it on everyone.
Right.
You've got to be very particular about those 4 to 6. But, kind of switching back to the things we control, though, first, because there's 3 more big ones that I see when I'm working with the loan officer day in and day out, but I just see that the issue of infrequent contact. So you have a great coffee or a first sales meeting, and then maybe even for 4 to 6 weeks, you're doing a good job with that regular contact, but then you skip a week. And the problem with that is when you skip a week, you easily lose 2 weeks worth of momentum that was created there. You skip 2 weeks, you easily lost a month's worth of work or more. And then if you skip your consistency early on, and you call it the first, 4 to 6 weeks, if you skip it early, you chances are that by itself could derail you, because the way you interact with an agent during the prospecting phase and the relationship building phase, at least at a subconscious level, and with your more savvy realtors, even a conscious level, they're analyzing what it's like to do business with you based off of how you're just interacting with them day in, day out. So right. Inconsistent prospecting equals inconsistent loan process in their eyes. We have to keep in mind. And so when you're looking, it's like, they 6 months later, they haven't responded. Well, go back and look, did you how consistent were you with that process? If you weren't, you've got to tighten that down and do it. And then when you are, let's say you aren't frequently in contact, that's great. But what type of contact is it? Are you just checking in? I hate checking in. That's lame. Anyone who's worked for me very long knows my joke where I get my whiny voice. Hey, it's Bobby, I'm just checking in. That's not the kind of either. So you have to look at what type of value do you provide in every one of your contacts? And are your contacts filled with the type of value that has an agent looking forward to hearing from you, ensuring that they take your call instead of sending a voicemail?
Right.
And so that's very important. And then the last one under the things of introspection and making sure that you're doing what you control is asking for the business. The first time and every time. Now, I know that some trainers say don't ask for business the first time. That's probably another podcast. But I will tell you, I can give you lists and lists and lists of people I've coached and managed over the years that will tell you that they've walked away with millions of dollars of business from the first meeting if you market and do the first meeting right. So I'm a big believer, you got to ask. And then certainly every single phone call has got to send the message that you're on the hunt for business. If you're not asking very direct questions like, hey, do you have a prequel you need help with? Well, what's your other activity look like? How soon do you think you might see a prequel? Okay, great, I'll call back then. Like, if you're not that focused on making sure that they know that you're in business to do business, then again, a lot of these agents, they've got a current lender. There's got to be some amount of pressure applied, not bad pressure, but some type of energy or activity that pushes the momentum of that loan from their current lender over to you.
Well, yeah, you've really have covered a lot in what you're saying, and it's all correct. And I think maybe it would be an important point to talk about the whole valuable insight component, because I do think what you're talking about is that just like anything else, that if you are reaching out, and this is an agent that you haven't done business with, even though you have been reaching out, one of the things that you need to look at is what type of valuable insights that you're giving. And I find most originators are kind of stuck on doing a feature dump about their latest product, which is not a valuable insight, because really this valuable insight component is really somewhat of the key to success. And I think the good news today is that our access to information through the internet is just dramatic. And so you no longer have to guess how many building permits are in a town because you can find it out. In other words, a sequence of valuable information is accessible. And I think the originator needs to ask the question, are they even providing valuable information? So maybe the reason why the person's not giving you any business is that, as you have said, they just see you as another originator that does a long description on the latest products that they have. And recently in a training that I was doing, one of the poll questions that I asked was, what is the number one issue that people are talking about today from the referral sources standpoint? And what was that issue? Not having enough business. So not surprising, obviously, for lots of reasons of what's going on in the housing finance market, that is the issue. So if you're providing that we can close in 3 minutes, if that's what your company can do, that's great. Okay, but when the referral source doesn't have any customers, the fact that you can close in 3 minutes is not going to be that important. And I do think a lot of what I see going on in mortgage banking is a lot of really kind of benchmarking on how fast they can close. But really today what I think the originator's job is to create interest in a generation to purchase a home. So we're talking different problems. And so when you're going on to a realtor about how fast you can close, that is not a relevant topic to what's currently happening. So I do think that the lack of doing business does center on this issue of, have we really thought through what would make us of interest to a real estate agent that has, you know, X set of interest, and namely that is, you know, are they going to make this decision to change and add another loan officer when, from their viewpoint, you know, they already have enough loan officers? So again, valuable insight, so crucial. We need to do a podcast on that, because I just see originators so easily moving into this issue of listing all their great benefits that their lender has. But that isn't really what is today's marketplace. Today's marketplace is, we have a generation of individuals that are hesitant to purchase a home, which is obviously, you know, is understandable considering all the different things that have gone on over the last 10 years.
Well, you know, you said something that was pretty important, and you talked about really a loan officer spending too much time just kind of showing up and throwing up on what the benefits of the company is.
Right.
You can put it a crude way. But here's the thing. There's a certain amount of arrogance to that approach, because the fact that we, and it's a rookie mistake, and it's a rookie mistake that some of us in the business 7, 8, 9 years can still be making.
Right.
And that is, we pretend to know what a potential benefit is for our agent. And the reality is that that approach doesn't work, because how an agent perceives benefit today is a very unique and sometimes short-lived situation, because their needs change, what they're focused on changes. Their business is different than the guy next to them in a lot of different ways. So we have to be really careful of that. We think we know, and that is actually part of the problem. And so if you've done that type of marketing and prospecting, you know, you're going to have a high number of your real estate agents not responding, because you haven't personalized it. And to the point of creating value, that's another area where I just see people trying to throw these big blankets over everything. So, you know, everybody wants to email articles nowadays as value. Well, you should be emailing some articles, but you need to do a variety of the value you're providing. And you also have to make sure it's very specific. And the article that you're sending better really create a difference in a realtor that you're sending it to's life and business. And then, hey, if you're sending 2 or 3 articles in a row and that's your strategy, then at some point they're going to ignore that too. You've got to find other ways to serve and other ways to support than just sending information.
You hit on a hot topic for me, because certainly what I always am teaching when I'm teaching prospecting is, it needs to be personal and it needs to be relevant. And I think when you're talking about how fast you can close, and that's not that important. We assume it's important, because I definitely recognize companies are spending millions of dollars on fixing their technology. And certainly that's all critical. But from the realtor's standpoint, all of our reach outs need to be centered on what is personal to them and relevant to them. And I think, Bobby, you're 100% correct. So our lack of doing business, you know, in the example you used, the individual originator really was excited about their own products on condos, but that really wasn't what the realtor was interested in. And so, you know, again, I think a lot of times we end up more excited about what we have done as a lender than really recognizing that if we want to get business from a new referral source or get more business, we have to make it personal and relevant to them. And that requires, obviously, an understanding of the marketplace. It requires a research component. There's a whole sequence that has to happen for you to walk in with valuable information that will make that person's business better. And I do think that many times with originators that do not produce as much as they should, is that, you know, they're reliving a style that worked 10 years ago, but doesn't work today.
Yep.
So,
So, okay, you know, to summary, you know, those are the five hot buttons that you got to really make sure you got to, you know, a self-assessment that is honest. Like, really, you got to look at these areas and you can't sugarcoat it. You can't, you know, it's like you're either hitting these or you're not.
Right.
And then if you are hitting these, and over some period of time it's not hitting, then you would move to phase two, which is really, you know, having a tough conversation. Now, before we switch to phase two, though, the tough conversation, you'd ask for a question, a very important question that I want to make sure we don't step over. And that's, you know, how long, you know, like, you know, do I call them 6 months, do I call them 9 months, or call them a year? And my answer when I'm working with people is always, it depends on the type of marketing and prospecting you're doing. And in my mind, there's three types that I see. There's relationship-based selling, there's value-based selling, and then there's the combination of both. If you've got a high value proposition, and then you can actually convert an agent to a business partner funding loans with you much faster. That's the fastest route. So, you know, a high value offer, you know, maybe ways to help build their business, ways to make their business easier, more enjoyable, anything like that, that's in high demand. So it's wanted and powerful. Then, you know, I've seen, and in fact, I'm currently doing it in my current group, we regularly convert an agent to a funding partner in 4 to 6 weeks. We regularly walk out of our first meeting with a pre-qual because the value proposition is so high. Now, if you're doing the old school relationship selling, and that's all you're doing because you've got, you're with a Me Too company, with a Me Too proposition, then you can win through the power and persuasion of your personality and because you are the reason that they want to do business with you. But it takes more time for them to figure that out. And that's why with some of the selling systems out there, you know, you'll create a list and you'll call that list for a year because you're waiting for two things to happen during that. You're very slowly building trust over 2 to 3 minute phone calls every week for a year. And at the same time, you're kind of hoping the current lender screws up a little bit because then that accelerates your process.
Yeah. For
you. Now, I like to do both. Like, I don't think it's either or. I actually think you do both. And then if you do both, typically, if I don't see results in 4 to 6 months, I'll move on.
Well, I think you hit on a lot of great points. And I think that we can leave our listeners today with a lot of things that I do think from a practical standpoint are issues that they need to look at. And that obviously does fit with the analysis component, looking at what is that valuable insight that you're giving. And then, frankly, it does come down to some tough conversations. So all good comments, Bobby.
Yeah, thanks. And, you know, I know we're over on time. Actually, we just went over a minute or two, but I think it's worth extending maybe just a minute to talk about the tough conversation with the agent, because you do have to have a point in which both of you are 100% clear, I'm either investing more in this or I'm not. But you need a decisive moment in which that's decided. Nothing's more aggravating than you than not to have that. And so the last step is real fast, is you get face-to-face with your agent if you can. If not, a phone conversation will have to do. And you ask them the question, you know, it goes like this. You know, hey, Pat, you and I, you know, we met like 8 weeks ago. We had a pretty deep conversation about the things you expected from the lender. And at the time, based on the feedback that you gave me and my feeling that I could get and see all those needs, we had decided to give it a try and do some business together and that I would get your next pre-call. And I haven't seen anything in the last 8 weeks. And so I just wanted to check in with you to see if I'm doing everything that I need to be doing to earn your business. And if I'm not, that's okay. I want to hear about it, but I wanted to find out where we're at with all of this. And you press and you see what happens. You know, sometimes maybe they just weren't busy, but other times you'll hear something comes up. And then the second question I like to ask, especially if I'm not uncovering what I need to do to reclose and move forward, is I'll just ask him if there was something that is preventing us from being able to do business together that we just didn't cover in that first meeting and that maybe we missed. But you've got to uncover why, and you've got to make sure that you're doing what they need from you. Otherwise, we could put in another 8 weeks of effort.
I agree with you 100%. I think that really is right on. And so I want to thank everybody for listening today and certainly look forward to you listening to our next podcast. Thanks, Bobby.
Yep. Hey, thanks, Pat.
Thanks for listening. If you have a topic to suggest, please tell your national MI account manager, and you may soon see it as part of our sales podcast series.